Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vedati here in Round Rock, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the wilds of Wyoming. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
I'm doing great. And you know, I love my atomic clock, my atomic radio clock. And this is not an ad. I'm not saying, well, I guess you could go to the Freedom Fiends Amazon link and get one. But we have these clocks on our wall. We have this stuff at home. And it's like, it didn't cost that much. You just have to be smart and read our creamy radio audio blog. You can actually do radio from home and have it sound pretty good. It's like, I look at this clock on my wall. This clock costs $30. I look at it. It hits the zero and the music starts. I mean, it is that precise. I dig it. I dig all this. I'm surrounded by equipment, and it's all
we live in the atomic age.
We do, and like everything around me is pretty much made by cheap Chinese slave labor. And you know, oh, I don't know if I want to go there, but yeah, man, I'm really happy to have you back, Nima. You've been gone a bit. I mean, you were here last weekend, but it's like we were talking to some guy from Nirvana about how to fix the government and make it more fair, which is ridiculous. That's like saying, you know, the mafia could really run more smoothly.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm back. I obviously am a new daddy.
You're
I guess
making
I say
babies.
Obviously because
you've been making babies.
If you listen to the show, you know, we've had a huge blessing in mine and my wife's life, Lily June Vedati, and she's growing every day and keeping us up at night, but it's good because I guess that's what she has to do.
How
to
old
get
is she
what
now?
She needs.
2 weeks?
Jeez,
week and a half?
2 weeks.
Yeah. Today.
Well, she'll be exactly 2 weeks at 5 PM today. So in five hours from now, she'll be 2 weeks.
Yeah, man. This is Michael Werecat Dean. I've been calling myself Michael Werecat Dean. My middle name is Wareham, Wareham, which is, I don't
Where's
know, it's
ham?
A family name from England. It's a town in England, and it just always sounded really like yacht clubby to me, like, oh, Michael Wareham Dean, like I should raise my pinky while drinking my whiskey
and eat
or
watercress sandwiches.
Yeah, and like have servants, and I don't have any of that, and you know, I was going to say I'm white trash from the wrong side of the tracks, and I just heard your train. Are you on the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks? You're right next to the tracks.
I'm on the wrong side of the tracks, yes.
Cool.
The nicer neighborhood is north of the tracks. I'm south of the tracks.
Yeah, I was actually from the right side of the tracks, but my family had come from humble farming roots. They were not English aristocracy like the middle name Wareham would suggest. So I've been calling myself Michael Werecat Dean. A werecat is a mythical creature. It's like a werewolf, but you turn into a cat instead of a wolf. I was watching the movie, my wife and I watched two movies. One is the movie Cat People from 1942, which is horrible.
That's a movie?
Yeah.
That's a real movie.
And then there's a remake. Okay. Yeah, and the lady in it is Croatian, and we have connections with Croatia,
right,
including the lady on our buttons, Iva, is from Croatia, and we interviewed Chris Novoselic last week, and he's Croatian.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
And you know who else is Croatian? Is Denis Kucinic. Basically, if your name ends in itch, it's possible you're Croatian. So
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, and we like him on war. We don't like him on other things. He's very anti-war, but you know, he's kind of like the Democrats, Ron Paul or something, if that's possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, Michael Werecat Dean. So the second movie is a 1980-something movie with Natasha Kinski and, who's the guy who played Alex in Clockwork Orange? Who's now in Death Clock.
I don't know his name.
And he's in
Death
Entourage.
Clock?
Yeah, he does the voice of the guy on like the secret like New World Order subcommittee that controls Death Clock. You know, he's the one in the highest seat who always says, "No, we shall wait and let Clock live." Yeah, not Roddy McDowell. The other McDowell. Yeah. Anyway, that guy. So
okay.
I'm convinced. Yes, Malcolm McDowell. Thank you.
You
I like how like the voice of God comes down and gives me these voices. It's actually our board op, and I don't think the audience can hear it. And
that was an appropriate
that
board
was an
op
appropriate use of board opism. Yeah, made me sound smarter. I shouldn't have even pointed it out. I should have just gone, "Yeah, Malcolm McDowell. Everyone knows Malcolm McDowell. No relation to Roddy McDowell. No relation. But I am convinced that Amanda Billyrock, who's another freedom fighter everyone knows who listens to us. Well, not everyone, but we've had her on before. Amanda Billyrock, I'm convinced that she styles her hair, makeup, and overall look after Natasha Kinski in the movie, the 80s movie, Cat People.
We should press her on that. Maybe she thought she was being a cool hipster and nobody knew who she was imitating, so they wouldn't think she was imitating anybody.
Well, it's
you can call her out.
It's good to imitate people from that far back because the youngsters will think it's new.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's why fashion is cyclical.
Yeah, I mean, I've been out of fashion my whole life, except for about 3 years when Nirvana became big. Suddenly I was in fashion, but I have pictures of me in like 1970 when I'm 6 years old. I'm wearing like, I look like Kurt Cobain, literally. Like I'm wearing grunge wear. I always did my whole life.
I don't know if that was a fashion thing for you. It's probably just comfortable.
Well, it wasn't a fashion thing for people from Seattle either. It was like the sons of lumberjacks, you know, dressing in secondhand lumberjack clothes against the cold.
Oh, yeah.
And it just became hip.
And it was cold where you grew up, too. And there were probably lumberjacks near you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been listening to a lot of Liberty Media lately, like Us and LRN. And, you know, after a while, like when I compare it to the mainstream media, to me, it kind of reminds me of the beginning of that video game Homefront, which is a really cool video game that's written by the guy who wrote Red Dawn.
And just like Red Dawn, North Korea takes over America.
Yeah, I think North Korea is the only country you can make the enemy anymore. It used to be the Russians, but
I don't know why. I think that to me that says something really sad about Americans' education level of how the world works. I think close to plausible.
I mean, they can't make it Al-Qaeda because you know, they're afraid of retribution. So they make it the North Koreans, assuming that since the North Koreans don't have electricity, they'll never find out about it, I think. And like, what did you say about the ridiculousness of saying the North Korean is the attacker on American soil?
They can't even build a building. How would they mount an army and cross an ocean and invade the biggest military in the whole world or the world has ever seen?
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. But it's like pretending a group of kindergartners could play the New York Giants in football and actually not die.
Yeah. Yeah, but this game Homefront, the beginning of it, it starts with like you in your apartment in first person, like through your eyes, and you wake up. And you're in this like kind of like you can't tell if you're squatting or if you used to live there and there's just, you know, a mortar shell hole through one of your walls on your third floor apartment. But you wake up and you turn on like this, you crank a radio and you turn on the radio and there's this shortwave pirate broadcast that kind of sounds like the ones in Red Dawn of, you know, John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. But it's like absolutely. You can tell someone is illegally broadcasting this at the, you know, possibility of death, being a hero, giving the news to, I guess, the patriots, whatever you call them, the freedom fighters, the Americans who are resisting this, who have been left by their government to fend for themselves. And it's like you just hear the truth on this radio in this video game, Homefront, compared to like the propaganda that's blasting on loudspeakers outside the window from the North Koreans in English. It kind of reminds me of that, and like, you know, to me the propaganda by the North Koreans in English out the window, that's the mainstream media. When I listen to like Fox or CNN or MSNBC, and then I go listen to Liberty Radio Network or Us, the Freedom Fiends, or Ben Stone or any of our friends, it sounds that different to me.
Yeah, completely different. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. It's kind of coming full circle for me. There's a story we decided we'd spend a lot of time on, or a decent amount of time on, and it's out of College Station, Texas. And I thought, wait, a guy I went to college with, a guy I used to me and him climbed up a crane together for a story. I was his cameraman at one point. And he now is a reporter for a TV station in College Station. And so we're going to talk about the story, and he talked about the story, and it was just mind-blowing to me the difference in how it gets covered. And I'm not so sure much of it is his fault. I think it's really just the medium of mainstream TV news is it's like martyr worship. It reminds me of what you probably see in Iran during the Iran-Iraq war, and a soldier dies, the way they're paraded around town and streets are named after them. It reminds me of that it's just hymns to the state on all these mainstream TV stations, and ours is obviously not. It's the opposite of that. It's the Freedom Fiends.
It was kind of weird, too, because I found this story. You have not been paying attention to the news. I found this story, and like I was like, we got to talk about this. There's so many angles for us in this. And you looked at it, and you're like, wait, this article is by a guy I used to work with or went to school
right,
with.
Right.
So, yeah. We're definitely going to get into that, but I agree completely. And I listen to mainstream news so so rarely that it kind of blows my mind to go back and be like, hey, that used to be my job. What was I thinking? And I'm so glad that I don't have to worry about
feeling we'll get into that in the next segment. But let's knock out a couple cool puppy parade things here. One is, why don't you read this email that we got about buttons? I really like this.
Oh, yeah. This is a good Christmas one, too. From Nicole. She says, she just wanted to let you know, or I guess I'll talk in her. Just wanted to let you know, the buttons I bought my husband for Christmas from you guys were a huge hit. I think next he wants an autographed photo. On a different note, our four-year-old daughter refers to you guys as, quote, daddy's friends when we listen to your show in the car.
That's awesome. Happy I don't think we've ever talked to the husband, and I think the only time we've talked to the wife was when she ordered buttons and then sent us this. And I like that we are their friends to their kids. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the power of media. And it's like,
really is.
We're not, we don't have some big corporation behind us, and we do take donations. You can go to the Freedom Fiend site. But we do it without money, man. I figured out my taxes for this year. I worked a lot more hours than you did because I do all the behind the scenes stuff. I made 42 cents an hour working full time this year on this radio show. And like, I'm happy, man. I'd like to make a little more, but you know, like someone said, at least you didn't lose 42 cents an hour. A lot of people do in Liberty Media are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
and I think that's up. I think we figured it last year and I made 5 cents an hour last year. So maybe next year I'll make, you know, like $1.80 an hour or something for full time work.
Just keep growing. Yeah. Well, I mean, they say when you start a business, it's not profitable for the first, 5 years or something like that. So, I mean, it's obviously depends on what type of business and when and where and all that kind of
stuff. Someone said we should unionize. So
we should have a minimum wage for podcasters. We have a radio show, but wouldn't that be funny?
And do what? Make us pay it? Yeah. Like Dr. Gene Scott. He used to smoke cigars and read on his religious show and say, I'm not saying another word until I get a donation from Bakersfield.
And then
he would just like read letters and smoke cigars and on camera for a half hour. So real quick, for Christmas, my wife and I, we had some foreigners who come here to take our jobs. Now, we had my friend Vaslav and his friend Ladya came. They're out here. They're out in California doing like computer programming, you know, the stuff that like not a lot of American. Like, I have a funny story I want to tell when we come back about Obama and what he's done to you today. But we went out shooting, and like those guys are gun guys. You can have a gun in Prague. You can have a concealed carry permit in Prague, which is a lot cooler than a lot of Europe. It's harder to have guns there than here, but you can't go shoot on like public land there. It's impossible. It blew their mind. We went out in the country on the state land and shot a bunch of guns in the snow. And like, after a couple hours, I want to leave. And they're like, no, man, this is great. We want to do this forever.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I remember being out there, and that's still my favorite shooting experience is that. Well, and Washington State, but a lot more fun to be out there in the wilderness shooting than stuck in some range. And we'll be back on the Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
Yeah, they shoot in former bomb shelters.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is some Squizzcar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am one of your co-hosts, Nima Vidati, out here in the Texas Hill Country, also known as Central Texas. Round Rock, to be specific, we've got Michael W. Dean out there in the wilds of Wyoming in the Wormabago, traveling around, solving mysteries in his van.
I'm in Metiti.
Yes.
Yeah, and I do have an announcement. We are going to be adding a third hour on Saturdays and Sundays, starting probably mid-January. I'll know Tuesday for sure. And it's going to, Nemo will be there a lot, but sometimes he won't be there, and it'll be me and guests. So more fiends, more radio, more time. You know, I'll do it 24 hours a day, because we're going to get knocked off the air here in about 5 years when Nancy Pelosi's president or something.
But, Ew. Well, let's hope not. But Hillary at the least. So
yeah, and I'll be calling all the stations on, because I want to, if there's some, I know there's program directors who listen to us, and I don't want them thinking, wait, well, you're telling everybody before you tell me, but I'm going to be calling y'all on Monday. And I know, Jolene there in Florida, I know you're listening. We'll call you. I'll call you on Monday or Tuesday. And Bill in Montana, other program director, I'll be calling you on Monday or Tuesday. That kind of reminds me of 30 Rock when they go down to like where Kenneth lives in, where Kenneth is from, Stone Mountain, Arkansas or whatever. And they watch in the local news and they're like, and that's the weather. And Christine would like everyone to know that she's leaving for the weekend and she hopes that Dave will go water her plants. It's like we're a syndicated show and we're giving personal messages to people. But
yeah. Oh, well, that's the fiends. We can do what we want.
So I had a thought about, I was talking about my friends coming here, foreigners coming and stealing our jobs. It's jobs that not that many Americans could do, doing software programming in Silicon Valley. And they rented a truck and drove up here for Christmas. It was a lot of fun. And they got to see Cody, Wyoming. They got to see the gun museum. They got to see the actual Liberator pistol from World War II in the museum. But I was thinking about this thing, and like about 2 years ago, Obama, look what Obama's done to you today. Obama was like increasing the number of available, work permits for foreigners. And it was a lot of was for tech stuff. And it was kind of a fake town hall meeting. And they had this lady who was obviously a plant stand up and say, my husband hasn't been able to get a job for a year, and he's a software engineer. And Obama's like, oh, well, talk to me afterwards, and I'll see if I can get him a job.
Nah.
First of all, like, how does that help the other 300 million people watching that? Second of all, I'm wondering if he got her a job, if Obama got her husband a job doing software engineering, and it was designing the Obamacare website.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hiring unemployable people to work on your healthcare.
So, Texas, what happened?
Yeah. Here's how it goes. There was a no-knock raid, and apparently there was
a flashbang. They threw a flashbang in. Yeah.
Eight sheriff's deputies serving a warrant. One of them got shot back at. Well, I guess I don't know if the deputies actually shot first. But
somebody kicked in the door, and the homeowner did what any Texan would do if someone kicked in their door. He started shooting at the door.
Yep. And Sergeant Adam Souders of Somerville was apparently shot and killed. And the local news didn't get enough information, as usually happens. They got, it seems like, what the police reported, which was very bare bones stuff, with the top most important part of it, the lead, being that a sheriff's deputy has died in battle.
Yeah, and the other lead is that the guy who shot him, the homeowner who got his door kicked in and didn't know what was going on, is facing capital murder.
That didn't come out until days later, though. And in the first few days, all it was just anthems and love and sorrow for this sheriff's deputy. And I'm not saying it's not tragic. I would never say that somebody's death is not tragic. But it was so one-sided of a story that the other side didn't even exist yet. And it's hard to know where the blame lies, and I don't think it lies in one place, but I think the overarching theme to me was that it's the genre of media. It's the way modern mainstream news and local news works, in that the police put out their report, their press release, the sheriff or the PIO comes out there, says what he says, and even the Austin reporter, the reporter from Austin, Texas, tried to ask the sheriff, well, hey, why was this warrant being served before 6 a.m. Why were there 8 deputies to serve it? And the sheriff didn't answer. Some stations didn't even get that far. A guy I went to college with, a guy I literally learned how to report broadcast journalism with, works in College Station where it happened. And in his initial report, I didn't hear anything like that. Just reporting that we don't have a lot of information yet. But very quick to talk about the tragedy without really asking what happened here, and what came out later kind of elucidated what actually happened. And we're going to get to that after this quick trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
All right, this is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. On the other end of the intertubes, we've got Mr. Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's going good. I'd like to hear a little more of your compression there, Nima. Give me a little more compression.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a teaching hospital.
Teaching hospital?
Yeah.
Is that squeezed enough for you?
Yeah,
Squeeze me. Yeah.
So you got something to report here, don't you?
I don't know if I'm reporting it. I'll report what the AP reported.
Well, you're like that. My friend's dad that worked for USA Today, he reviewed sportscasters.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
Rudy Marchke.
Yeah, okay. So we could call this media review. but so here's what happened. At least here's how I'm piecing it together from later reports. A Central Texas guy in sort of the College Station area was in his trailer with his 5-month pregnant wife or thereabouts. Heard people trying to bust through the door, grabbed a semi-automatic rifle and started shooting at the home invaders. Now, the home invaders turned out to be 8 sheriff's deputies, and one of them died from wounds inflicted by the gunshots, a Sergeant Adam Souders, S-O-W-D-E-R-S.
Yeah, now, and a lot of the news portrayal of this omitted a lot of things, like the fact that it was a no-knock raid and the fact that the warrant was for pot. It was for pot and possession, felon in possession of guns. And these days, anybody can be a felon. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. They'll arrest you for anything and make you a felon. It's what they do. So basically, all of the news sources, by omission, painted it like these brave officers doing their patriotic duty were murdered by this scumbag. And that's not really how it's looking, man. And I'm not saying it's good that a cop got shot. I am saying this is going to keep happening, and the war on drugs is insane. It can't be won. It actually drives up the demand for drugs because it makes them more expensive.
Right. And one of the reasons this is such an interesting story is there's so much tension here between the two sides of the story. You know, when you think of a stereotypical rural or central Texan, a lot of times you might think of somebody who loves their local police department and their first responders, as they call them, but also people who would respect somebody who would defend his home and his family with
absolutely,
his personal firearms.
Absolutely. And you have comments like this on these news articles from people in Texas. Another officer slain by a turd, and the English is really bad in some of these. Another officer slain by a turd who himself isn't fit to live. To the family, friends, and community of Deputy Billy Kennedy, may God receive him for the hero he is. My condolences to all of you, and I'm sure he will RIP now in the arms of the Lord, forever be safe. And here's another one. Another shot in the face, but Deputy Kennedy managed to empty his duty pistol. The suspect was shot 5 times, but survived for now. God bless Deputy Kennedy and his family and coworkers. The bizarre thing to me is The average Texan, and I'm assuming these are the average Texan, whatever that is, writing these comments, because there's so many of them. The average Texan, if you said, what would you do if someone kicked in your door at 5 in the morning? The average Texan would say, I would shoot first and ask questions later. Absolutely. And you kind of have to do that for home defense. Because, I mean, in L.A., for instance, it's really common for gangs to do home invasions and yell, police, as they come through the door. Right. These people didn't even yell police. They kicked in the door and threw in a flashbang grenade. And that is incredibly disorienting by design. And the guy just started shooting at the door. And I think most Texans would do that.
And an immense amount of prejudice on the account of the commenters, but sadly on the part of the news media covering this too.
Yeah.
And like I said, the blame doesn't lie in one place. I don't think it lies on just a reporter or just a producer or just the media in general. It also lies on the police department, the sheriff's department, who were very tight-lipped, and they usually are. I did a few officer-involved shootings when I was a reporter, and I remember how little details they give you. Now, what I would do to combat that, and I did in a case I did where a cop shot a guy in his car, is you talk to the neighbors. You go and knock on doors. You talk to the neighbors. You try to find out who lived there. You try to find out. And even though it's just bystanders telling you things, at least you get some sort of context.
Yeah, because otherwise
the sad thing
you're
is
just
reporters
basic
feel like they only need the official statement from the PIO to know what's truth, and they accept that as truth.
Which is
and they
really
also
just
give the benefit of the doubt to the police or the sheriffs.
That's just you being the mouthpiece for the state. I mean, that is literally state-run media. It's not state-run media like in North Korea, but it's state-run media in that when you try to investigate, you know, your privately owned media company says, oh, we don't want to tell that story. Like, not many people mentioned that the guy is claiming self-defense, and he's got a damn good attorney. Who's his attorney? Who did he defend before?
David Koresh and Tom DeLay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a good attorney. And
Dick DeGuerin of Houston. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that last name properly.
It sounds like self-defense to me. I mean, in Wyoming, I don't know. I think this would play the same in Wyoming, too. I think the average person in Wyoming, if you said, what would you do if someone kicked in your door? The average person in Wyoming would say, I'd start shooting at the door and figure it out later.
Is a really important legal question that I think is that, is it even possible in the modern American legal system to shoot a cop in self-defense? Will it ever, ever be called that?
Yeah. And, you know, what if this had been the wrong house, too? I wonder how they'd be playing it differently. Probably not. The press would probably be doing what they're doing. And again, we have to stress, we don't think it's a good thing that a cop got shot. We're not happy about that. But we do want to say this is going to keep happening. We want to say that again. This is going to keep happening with the war on drugs, with the unconstitutional, illegal, immoral war on drugs. People who are gun owners who don't smoke pot should be paying attention to this and should not be cheering for the police. They should be questioning what happened, because this is the same kind of stuff they're going to do to take your guns.
Right, right. And it's great that that's even the angle that the defense lawyer is taking, that this is just a tragic accident, if anything. The defense attorney is quoted as saying that the family of the guy who shot in supposed self-defense is devastated, quote, devastated that this deputy was killed, because they actually knew the deputy. I mean, it's such a small town that the guy who did the shooting, or at least his family, knows the guy who died, the deputy who died. And so, it's nothing but a tragedy. I've said before that one of the essences of this state is two people in an interaction, neither of them doing what they actually want to do, just doing what they feel they're mandated to do by the state. And, that could have been the case with this deputy. Maybe he didn't want to do a no-knock raid, but maybe he wants to make sure he stays in the department for 20 years so he can retire and have a nice lifestyle for his family.
And the homeowner certainly doesn't want a no-knock raid. He certainly doesn't want to shoot somebody. He certainly doesn't want to be charged with murder. I'm surprised the homeowner or the renter is still alive, because generally the cops murder you as soon as you pull for a gun, even in self-defense, not knowing it's cops.
Right, right. But one of the things, too, is that before this information came out, and it looks like the AP did a lot of good work in actually uncovering this, and then I think the sort of hard-hitting stuff came out after the lawyer, the defense attorney, got a hold of this and started digging into it and then started talking to the press. And I think that that's a really good thing. I think this defense attorney is one of the heroes, if there are any heroes in this story, Dick DeGuerin. But before all this, in the few days when they were just talking about it, there was story after story, and in specific from this one college station, TV station, KBTX, that were just about the memorial and about how everybody's coming out to support this. And there was a whole story on the funeral procession and B-roll of the motorcade. I guess it's not a motorcade, but the funeral procession.
They didn't even go to the crime scene. There was no footage of the crime scene,
was
there?
I did not see B-roll of the crime scene in these. And it I didn't watch all of them, so maybe I missed it. But one of the guys working on these stories is, like I said earlier, a former colleague of mine at the University of Texas. You know, when I was in the broadcast sequence down there, we would assign we would go out in pairs, and I was his cameraman sometimes, and I think once he was my cameraman, maybe. We actually climbed a crane together and shot a feature story about crane operators, and he did a stand-up on the top of a crane, you know, hundreds of feet in the air, and I thought it was really cool. And it's one of my good memories from learning the craft of journalism. And to see him now and see that that could have been me. That could have been me telling these sort of stories. And I don't know if I want to blame Clay too much here.
It could be the producers.
Do we want to play some of this?
Yeah. And one thing I want people to think, and we're going to invite him to come on and tell his side of the story. We're going to send him this episode and invite him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's highly unlikely that he'll be able to make an appearance on our show because it might be a contractual thing that he'd have to get approval and he might not want to do that. And even if he did, they probably wouldn't let him. But maybe he can tell me personally, hey, man, this is what they wanted and the police weren't giving us anything, and we couldn't get to the crime scene because it was an hour away, and the news director said, hey, you got another vote shot to shoot today, so you can't do it. You know, a lot of times the logistical constraints will keep you from getting that other side of the story, so that's a possibility too. But
before you play that, one thing I want people to consider while listening to this piece and in this whole situation is how much this kind of one-sided biased reporting that comes from the mainstream news, how much this influences potential jurors in the area, you know, because the people that are going to be the 12 people that are going to be judging whether this was self-defense or murder are going to be the people reading an overwhelming majority of news articles saying this brave officer was murdered by this scumbag who shot this policeman without giving the details. And they may even suppress the details in the trial. They can do that. The government makes the rules, and they can maybe suppress that it was a no-knock raid. They can maybe suppress what the warrant was for. Who knows?
Well, in most of the early stories, they don't even address that side of how he got shot. They don't mention the shooter as being a scum. I mean, obviously they wouldn't say the shooter's a scumbag, but they kind of just don't even pick that up.
Well, they did.
On what happened?
They did not say it was a no-knock raid in most of the articles, and in most of them, they did say that he lived in a trailer. Which there's nothing wrong with living in a trailer, but a lot of people who don't live in a trailer have a mental image of what it means to live in a trailer. So,
they also didn't seem to question – the big question to me was, okay, so why were there 8 deputies serving a warrant, and what was the warrant for? Because why do you need 8 people to give you a document?
Yeah,
I mean, obviously something deeper is going on here, and that seemed to be the most important question. The Austin reporter who drove all the way to College Station to get the story did ask that, did not get an answer. I don't know if the College Station TV stations actually even asked that or at least reported back, because they didn't have sound from the sheriff on that point. But here's some of Clay Falls, a former colleague of mine at a station in College Station.
Procession of law enforcement, police officers, and firefighters have a procession down Highway 21, just down the block from here, where they carried Adam Soder's body. And as we've talked about in other circumstances, there's a common bond and brotherhood we see that comes out in tragedies like this for area law enforcement. And now law enforcement, police, and sheriff's officers from across the region are coming to help. At this afternoon's press conference, Sheriff Dale Stroud told us his deputies who've been impacted by this tragedy are being able to meet with counselors as they try to cope, and they'll be able to take off some
and
time.
We'll be back, we'll be with, back more with more on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vidati out here in Round Rock, Texas. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming.
How's it going, Mr. Dean? No relation to Howard Dean. This is Michael Werecat Dean. Yeah, I'm good, man. Let's get back into this and bury this story instead of burying the lead like the mainstream media does.
Well, like I said, in the first few days of reporting on this this sheriff's deputy being shot during a no-knock raid, they really only had information from the sheriff's department. It didn't seem like they went out and talked to neighbors. Maybe there wasn't neighbors. You know, I got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it was a rural trailer and wasn't necessarily in a trailer park. But it reminded me of James Schultz, who was killed by police officers in Richland, Washington, when I was a reporter out there. And what I did was I actually went to the coroner's office and waited for the family. And it took a lot of work to get the family to agree to talk. But that's what it took to get the story, to get their side of it. And I thought that that was so important, so that it wasn't just nothing but the PIO saying there needs to be more information. And look at all of us and how great we are at patting ourselves on the back that we're police and police are so brave, which is what it sounded like a lot of the coverage of this sheriff's deputy was from the media sources in College Station. So let's see. I've got a little bit of audio here, and I'm going to play.
This is your story on a similar situation, and you actually did more digging and did some journalism.
Well, it's very different in the sense that the cops killed a guy and none of the cops were harmed. Now, it's kind of the opposite of the situation in College Station. But I think the broader point is that it's important to get the point of view from the other side rather than just the authority figures. The board op told us right during the break that they've done studies that some vast majority of crisis coverage centers around the statements of authority figures. And I think that's a big problem because authority figures obviously have a vested interest in making it seem seem like they deserve to be the authority figures.
And this is why we need more alternative media. And I actually learned about this story and more truth about it from Ben Swan's site, benswan.com. And he is a former, like you, a former mainstream news TV anchor who has gone and done his own thing.
Right. And I didn't have a whole lot of time to cue this up because the ad took too long. But here's the end. I think there's at least one SOT sound on tape from the mother of the victim of this officer-involved shooting. Here we go.
Play it.
Arrested on weapons charges. The Special Investigation Unit is still piecing everything together, but the lack of information has family members anxious.
I want to know what the police department of Richland are hiding.
And whatever really happened, it's still a tragedy for those who knew James. Nima Vadadi, Action News.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, just a little tidbit, but
it's the mother of saying, I want to know what the police are hiding. There was nothing like this in the coverage in Texas.
In the coverage in Texas, there was, we don't have a lot of details.
that means they're not going to tell us anything. I mean, there are details, and one cop we actually played in the part you played before was saying, we're going to release more details later. Like, basically, that comes across to me as, like, either by intentionally or by omission or just the way it works. We're going to let everybody form their opinion that the police are great and the guy who shot to defend his home is a bad guy, and then we'll release more details after the public has decided, after the potential jury pool has decided.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Clay, my former colleague, Clay Falls, did sort of redeem himself in some work with the Associated Press after the defense attorney came out and started doing some digging himself, which it sounds like the defense attorney did most of the work. But kudos to them for actually reporting that as well, that, hey, maybe this was a self-defense situation, and giving at least some credence to that. It's still couched in a lot of terms of how tragic it was, but that's okay, because I still think it is tragic. It's very tragic that somebody lost their lives.
Yeah.
But to me, the whole thing is, at the very beginning, they should have been skeptical rather than accepting the police story without really digging into it or any kind of skepticism. I kind of feel like journalism was intended to start off with skepticism and maybe have some trust later once a source was trustable. But it seems like the way it plays out these days is you have a relationship with the police or the sheriff's department or the PIOs or the government officials, and because you have that working relationship, you kind of fall into this bias of taking what they say and reporting it as if it were plain fact rather than the statement of a government agency.
Yeah, and stick around for hour two of the Freedom Fiends, where we will explain why the NSA is the only part of the government that actually listens to you. Worms. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. This is Nima Vadadi. We've got Michael W. Dean on the other end in Wyoming. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's good. I'm getting an echo.
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 Oh, yeah.
It's kind of psychedelic. I'm just going to go with it, man. I'm just going to go with it. Brad, can we kill that echo, please? Yeah. All right. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah. So, Nima, the NSA. Hey. The NSA. I'm just gonna have to turn down what's coming back to me,
okay?
Because I'm getting the echo. I don't know why I'm getting the echo. 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 So the NSA is the only part of the government that actually listens to you. Last year's New Year's Eve present from President Obama, the giver of presidents, that's how a lot of people look at the president, was indefinite detention. They passed that on New Year's Eve while everyone was out getting drunk and going, woo, USA, USA. The USA decided they could indefinitely detain you, and they put it in writing.
I mean, they re-upped it this year, too, in the 2014 NDAA.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not going away. Not this year, at least.
Yep. So, that's what the Obamas gave you last year.
What did they give us this year? What was our present this year from the president?
They had, well, there was a good federal judge, which is a pretty rare commodity. There was a good federal judge who said that the NSA's unlimited data collection was illegal and immoral and unconstitutional. And then the government did what they did, was when they didn't get the answer they wanted, they got someone else to give them the answer they wanted. They got a judge who said, oh, it's completely legal. Of course it's legal.
Yeah. Newsflash, they found a federal judge to justify the federal government. Wow.
Yeah.
How unlikely.
Yeah.
And it's, how sad. And it is nice to see mainstream sources taking them to task and this judge to task. Even the New York Times editorial board came out with an article, or I guess an editorial, on the 27th with the headline, "This Week Mass Surveillance Wins." Now, this judge says that the effectiveness, he says, quote, "the effectiveness of bulk telephony metadata collection cannot be seriously disputed," but it's great. In the editorial from the New York Times, in the paragraph before that, they have a link to a 300-page report by the Presidential Advisory Committee on the NSA, which basically says that, nope, that's not the case. No terrorist attacks have been prevented from this mass spying from the NSA. So what then? What is the justification?
Yeah, and they I've also heard people say things like, well, you know, there's a whole bunch of terrorist things that have been stopped, but we can't tell you what they are because they're a secret, which is ridiculous. That's just ridiculous, man.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, baby, I think of you all the time.
But I can't tell you when.
It's just pillow talk. That's all it is.
Yeah. So I had an interesting dream about the NSA, was that, it was really weird. It was the other day. I dreamt that it was the not too distant future, and Republican, Bloomberg Republican Peter King, who we're going to talk about more, he was the president. It was a few years in the future, and he'd been elected because the Republicans all said, well, he's better than Hillary. We have to vote for the Republican. When this when I actually think Democrats would be better, because if you have a Republican, all the Republicans are going to agree with him, no matter how horrible the things he's doing are.
Yeah, but it's the same with Democrats. They're all worse than each other at the same time. So when you have a Democrat, all the Democrats agree with the president.
Yeah, it's like that old Live Deep Purple record where the guy says, I need the monitors up. I need everything louder than everything else.
Right. Yeah. Every politician is worse than every other politician at all times.
Yeah, every politician makes you nostalgic for the previous one, because over time it gets worse and worse. And this was my dream took place in the not too distant future, you know, probably, 2016, whatever. And Peter King was the president of the United States. Yes. And in this dream, the NSA had stepped up their big brotherism to the point where there were cameras everywhere, and it was against the law to do anything you'd normally do, like wash your hands in a public restroom and step out of the view of one of the cameras. And I stepped out of view. I didn't wash my hands. I went to the bathroom, didn't get anything on my hands, didn't wash my hands. And I didn't want to step over to where the hand dryer was because there was a camera following me in the bathroom. And they had them in the stalls, too. And
like that South Park episode with the TSA, the Toilet Safety Administration.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. And I stepped out of the view of the camera, and all of a sudden, like, this cage came down and trapped me in the bathroom because I'd broken the NSA law of stepping away from the camera. And I got trapped. But of course, it was built by the government, so it didn't really – it was pretty easy to circumvent. And there was an air vent in it, and I was like yelling through the air vent, hey, can someone please help me? And this like kind of punk rock kid, like 19-year-old dude, you know, in like leather with an anarchy symbol on his back and, you know, a jacket looking all punked out, spiky hair. Like, he walks over. He pulls a short crowbar like out of his backpack and just pries these little thin fans open. And I just –
because all anarchists carry crowbars.
In my dreams, I guess. And I just crawled through, and I was like, thanks, man. What can I do to thank you? And he's like, no, that's just what we do. And he walked away. And while this was happening to me, it was like being broadcast on TV as an NSA ad, and the voiceover said, like, don't do what this young man just did. Do not help citizens out of their freedom cages. The freedom cages are there to protect all citizens. And that was like the NSA, like 5 years in the future.
Yes, the freedom cages.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to start calling the prisons, right?
Freedom cages. Yes,
your freedom cage. Yeah. Please report to your freedom cage.
Yeah, so Peter King is the New York Republican. He's a gun-grabbing Republican who is the chair of the United States House Homeland Security Subcommittee on Counterterrorism and Intelligence. And it's kind of interesting that he was – I find it ironic that he is this because he is on record as giving money to and speaking in support of in the past of the Irish Republican Army, the Provisional IRA, who are by any definition terrorists. These are not government entities. They are private citizens who blow stuff up. They blow up, you know, discotheques where English soldiers hang out. They blow up bars. They blow up. And he has defended the IRA saying, well, they're not like Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda's never killed an American citizen, which first of all would be of no comfort to the English citizens who've been killed by the IRA. Secondly, it's not true. They did kill an American citizen. There's an American citizen killed in their bombing of Harrods in England. And it's ironic. It's incredibly just wrong, ironic to me, that this guy who's supposed to be in charge of stopping terrorism has supported terrorism. But I guess some people would say, well, at least he knows his business, you know, kind of like they put people who own oil companies in charge of the EPA and things like that.
Do you want me to read his quote that the Denver Post quoted him?
Yes.
About the IRA, King is quoted as saying, quote, "We must pledge ourselves to support those brave men and women who this very moment are carrying forth the struggle against British imperialism in the streets of Belfast and Derry." And then 3 years later, he said, quote, "If civilians are killed in an attack on a military installation, it is certainly regrettable, but I will not morally blame the IRA for it." End quote.
If anybody said that in America defending that guy Officer Nadal, who shot a bunch of people at a military base in Texas, was it?
Yeah.
You'd be tarred and feathered. Mm-hmm. If you said that, and rightfully so, if you said that about that guy, which he's saying the same thing about the IRA, if you said that about that guy, you would rightfully be dragged into the street and tarred and feathered and hanged in the street. I mean,
well, he's committing the sin of calling out, of not making the distinction between state terrorism and non-state terrorism, because when the U.S. government kills innocent civilians in, say, the Middle East and Afghanistan or Yemen, they just call it collateral damage. Nobody really seems to care about it. So maybe that's why he's in that position, because he firmly believes that the ends can justify the means, and it doesn't matter if some innocent civilians get killed. You can't be morally blamed for it. So it makes sense to me.
It makes sense that he would say that. Not
makes
what,
sense
what
that he would say
not
that.
What he
yeah,
said.
I don't
what
agree with it.
What he's
but
saying
it makes
is
sense
insane.
That that's where he's coming from.
Yeah. So Peter King, the Bloomberg Republican from New York, who's actually considering a presidential bid, and you say he won't win because he's too ugly and unlikable.
He's too ugly.
Yeah. Although that guy from New Jersey, the Republican from New Jersey,
Chris Christie,
who likes the Democrats and likes Obama, and you know, he has a chance, but he's likable.
He's the likable buffoon. Yeah. He's the Homer Simpson of politics.
I think he's more kind of he tries to portray himself. Is the Tony Soprano of politics. Peter King is just mean, whereas the guy from the gentleman from New Jersey is ugly and he's a large man, but you know, which usually wouldn't get you elected, but he might get elected. He might, because he's kind of like he kind of reminds people of Tony Soprano, and he's likable. He's a likable.
I don't know.
Goon.
I think since the advent of TV, we haven't had any presidents that weren't at least physically fit. If they weren't the best looking cats, they at least took care of their bodies.
Well, actually, didn't JFK win over Nixon in the first televised debate? And didn't it actually get him?
It was people who saw the televised debate said that JFK won. People who heard the radio debate or heard the debate on the radio said that Nixon won.
Yeah. Yeah, so people just want a movie star to tell them what to do. That's basically what that says, which is ridiculous. Yeah. So Peter King gave a pep talk. He went to the NSA and gave a pep talk to the NSA workers. And he said, said, they really feel that they're under siege. Oh,
yeah. We made fun of a few weeks ago because there was a story that they were crying into their NSAT about how the president hasn't come to visit them and how sad is it? We feel so under-supported. And so I guess Peter King must have caught wind of that and said, hey, I can win some political capital by going and giving a pep talk to these spies.
Which is probably really what happened. I mean, conspiracy theorists would say, and maybe it's possible, you know, that like Obama really does support him, but his pollsters say he shouldn't be supporting the NSA publicly, so he sends his buddy Peter King to do the pep talk.
Maybe, yeah, exactly. You know. Peter King's from a different political faction, so no, I think it's King trying to win out points.
Yeah,
and Barack Obama realizing that he has the power already, so he's not gonna take that position right now because he has no need for it, nothing to gain from it.
Peter King said, "They really feel they're under siege, whether from Snowden, the politicians, the media, the daily stories, the daily attack. Very few people are publicly supporting them."
Oh, well, why would they?
I know.
To me, that reminds me of the police officers in Rialto, California, that have to wear cameras on their person at all times to record their interactions with the public.
And some of them
were commenting when the decision was being discussed that we don't want Big Brother watching us. It's like, wait, no, you're the cops.
You are Big Brother.
You are Big Brother.
Yeah, they tried that in Boston, and the police unions blocked it. They're like, we don't want to be accountable. No, that'll make for bad policing. You know, one of the comments I liked on the story was, Mussolini gave pep talks to the troops, too, when things looked bleak. Best for any NSA employee who wants to defect from this fascist group to do it now. Follow the example, and this is what they're saying, follow the example of the true patriot Snowden and give Glenn Greenwald a call using PGP encryption and bring data. That's what the public thinks, man. I mean, these goons go around saying, our poor workers are harmed because no one loves them being goons.
Yeah, well, all they have to do is stop being goons and people might forgive them. If they're forgiving folk. We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vedati. We've got Michael W. Dean on the other end. How's it going, Mr. Dean? No, not at all. Sorry. Let's try again. We've got Michael W. Dean on the other end. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
There we go.
We're defending against tyranny, and we're talking about Peter King giving a pep talk to NSA workers saying, they don't feel very good. I have to be like Mussolini and go in and talk to the troops when things are bad. Now, Peter King said, he said that Rand Paul disgraced his office with NSA criticism. What a crazy world we live in. And that's a reason why you shouldn't respect an office anyway, because then there's nothing to disgrace. But that is
right.
What
I
do
mean,
you think of that,
what,
man?
What does
that's
he expect
crazy.
The what does he expect the office to do? I mean, is it the job? I imagine it is in Peter King's mind. It's the job of congressmen and senators to rubber stamp what the police state does because it helps to increase their power, and that's all he cares about. Peter King is a libido dominandi addict. He's obsessed with nothing but his own power and the power that of his colleagues that can also help his own power. And the NSA helps them to do that, apparently. Either that or the NSA found some porn on Peter King's hard drive and blackmailing him.
They do. There's been talk that that's possible. And, you know, the IRA, this group that he supported, if you want to know something more about the IRA, who Republican Congressman Peter King supported, Gaddafi gave 1,000 AK-47s to the IRA. Although the United States has given weapons to Gaddafi, haven't they?
Yeah. Gaddafi's kind of an interesting case. He's been back and forth, ally, not allied. Very 1984. We're at war with East Asia, and then we're at war with Eurasia. And don't think back to a week ago when they were our enemy, kind of a thing.
I want to say something about AK-47s. The designer of the AK-47, Kalashnikov. What's his first name?
Oh, I don't know. That's something long and hard to pronounce.
Yeah. Well, he died recently at the ripe old age of 90-something. And a lot of leftists and liberals and Democrats are celebrating his death. I celebrated
celebrating his death the way they celebrated Nelson Mandela's death?
No, like good riddance. There's been a lot of commentary on the
internet. Because his guns will magically stop working now or something?
I don't know, man. I celebrated his death like the way people celebrated Nelson Mandela's death. I went out and shot an AK-47 this weekend with my friends from Prague, from the Czech Republic. I went out on state land and shot a gun that you can't shoot. You can't shoot guns on state land in a lot of Europe. And they were just blown away by it. They were like, you know, when they go shooting, they have to go pay and sign a release form and show their permits and go literally underground in a government-sponsored, what used to be like a bomb shelter or munitions factory. And, you know, be elbow to elbow with other people and not feel free just out shooting in the woods like you can here in Wyoming.
Yeah.
But the ironic thing about all these lefties celebrating good riddance, Kalashnikov's dead. That guy who made those evil rifles is dead. The irony of that is that the AK-47 has largely been used by leftist groups for insurgencies.
right. Let's read a little bit from his wiki page.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of an interesting cat. According to himself, Kalashnikov was a self-taught thinker who combined innate mechanical skills with the study of weaponry to design arms that achieved battlefield ubiquity. That's certainly true, even though it's self-described. They did attain battlefield ubiquity. Even though Kalashnikov felt sorrow at the weapon's uncontrolled distribution, he took pride in his inventions and in their reputation for reliability, emphasizing that his rifle is, quote, a weapon of defense and, quote, not a weapon for offense.
Yeah, he said that he wanted to be – what he originally did was design agricultural equipment, like tractors and things, and he wanted to be remembered for that. And he said, it's Hitler's fault I'm remembered for designing this rifle because of Hitler, to defend Russia, I had to design this rifle.
Yeah. Very interesting cat. And it's kind of interesting. Did the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, I'm sure they got their hands on some AKs too. I think they were also fighting with Mosin Nagants, but they were using them against the Russian imperial occupiers. So
that's the thing about technology. He talked about the problem of the uncontrolled distribution of it. And it's like, that is a very Soviet thought, that you can control a good idea from going where you don't want it to. You know,
it sure is. Yeah.
Because it wasn't just AKs being shipped from Russia. It was like as soon as one was dropped in a battlefield, somebody took it to a general in some other army, and they took it to their engineers, and they reverse engineered it and made them in their factories. You know, can't control technology.
No. That's one of the beauties of it is it can travel through human society and end up on the other side of the world. Patents try to stop that, things like that, but they often fail. And that's a benefit of the market, not a failing of it.
Russia also shipped boatloads, literally, of these rifles to anybody who didn't like capitalism around the world in very unstable places where the people using them this week aren't going to be the people owning them next week.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
All right, it's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I'm Nima Vedati. I'm here with avid indoorsman Michael W. Dean. We're going to chat a little bit about self-described indoor cat Edward Snowden in a recent interview with a Washington Post reporter. He did call himself an indoor cat.
That's funny.
He also said that his mission is accomplished, and I would say he did a great job. Don't you think so, Michael?
Yeah. We're going to be interviewing somebody in a few weeks here who actually thinks that Edward Snowden is a false flag, and I just don't see that.
I don't know what that means. How can a person be a false flag?
Well, you know what it means. It means that she thinks that the NSA said, okay, here's your job. You're going to pretend. You're going to give away all our secrets, and it'll accomplish something we want to accomplish. I just think it did too much damage. I mean,
yeah.
The only advantages I could think of would be, one, maybe they think they want to quickly make this the new normal, but people are pushing back too much, man. It's not like everyone's accepting it. I mean, there's not a lot you can do. There is a lot you can do about it. You can use encryption.
When the New York Times is saying the government is going too far, you know that it's probably not a false flag.
Yeah. And the other thing I was thinking was maybe it's a honeypot to see where people stand on him and who's saying, yes, he's a hero. But they can tell that anyway because they're listening to all your phone calls and reading all your email.
There you go. But yeah, man, I mean, what Snowden at 29, destroying the NSA's, quote, information dominance, as the Washington Post puts it. This guy, my age, took down – at least is in the process.
Without going to journalism school, like the people who usually think they're going to do that.
Right. No, he just got a job, got the data, and gave it to Glenn Greenwald, who's already great at being a reporter.
Yeah, and it wasn't even his plan. It just once he was there, he saw the workings and said, I have to say something. If you see something, say something.
Is that definitive yet? I kind of feel like maybe it was, or at least he had some sense of that. What do you think?
I'm defending him. I'm giving the official. Yeah.
It would not upset me if it was his plan. It'd make me like him even more.
If you see something, say something. That's what he did.
That's what he did. Yeah, yeah. If you see something, leak something. I like that better.
Yeah. So, yeah. Tell me more.
Yeah, man. I think it's way too damaging. I don't think in any sense you could make a great argument that Edward Snowden is some kind of CIA plant or some kind of limited hangout or anything like that.
I think he's just a
decent guy that either by accident or by planning decided to break all of these or leak all of this data that basically allowed reporters like Glenn Greenwald to break all these stories that show all these horrible things that the NSA is doing. And I think it is a great strategy that they didn't dump it all at once. I think it's a good thing now that it seems all the time we're hearing new horrible things the NSA is doing, and they're caught in more lies about what they're saying. more lies about their justification of their spying, saying that they're stopping all of these mass shootings and terrorist attacks when everybody can show them to their face that that's just not true. You guys don't have a leg to stand on. And I think that the judge saying that what they're doing is legal, the federal judge, is a good thing. It's a good thing for libertarianism and liberty and people who don't believe that the government is their savior, because it helps others to see that what the government considers legal or illegal is just what benefits them. It's a perfect case study in that, because people see themselves being spied on as on its face wrong, at least enough people do. And then you have a government judge saying, hey, it's legal, it's okay. That disconnect, I think, can help a lot of people to maybe take those few final steps over to the good side.
Yeah, they used to say never underestimate a U.S. Marine with a rifle, and now I think it's never underestimate a disgruntled government employee with a hard drive. And you know, really, you make a good point, Nima Vedati, about how they're stepping this stuff up, and it's really just shooting them their own selves in the foot. They're really just destroying their credibility. You know, there's that thing by Larkin Rose. He did a thing called How to Be a Good Tyrant or something like that. And it's ironic. It's tongue-in-cheek. But it's basically saying that if tyrants wanted to steal from people and tax them in perpetuity without ever having their job description eliminated by just destruction of the empire, by people waking up and saying, the emperor has no clothes, what they would do is they would do the boiling frog thing of like only turn up the heat a tiny bit at a time, very gradually increase the tyranny, which they've kind of done over about 200 years. But ever since about George W. Bush's first week, the force, the idiots, the blob that is the state has been just vastly doing it, to the point where, like, when it got to Obama, like the first month Obama was in office, like every week there was something that blew my mind of like, oh my God, this is so blatant. And now it's to the point where it's two or three times a day. Like this administration and this Congress and these police, and there's so much tyranny that it barely registered, man. It's like every day, sometimes two or three times a day, there's a headline. It's just mind blowing. And that's not going to be sustainable. You know, it's kind of like a heroin addict who's got a good working heroin addict going. He's got some job on the side. He's able to support his destructive habit, but he's making it work and he can do it for years and years and years. And all of a sudden he switches over to like shooting speed and smoking crack. And all of a sudden, like, he loses his job, he loses his house, he loses his girlfriend. People can't, you know, he can't lie to people anymore. People can see right through him just walking down the street like, oh my God, you look like a zombie. Get away from me. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's real interesting. I really don't know what the end game is. I don't think anybody has one. I think they're just going to keep trying to maintain their power as much as possible. I mean, you see Dianne Feinstein trying to pull wool over people's eyes and having stuff that actually strengthens the NSA, couched in terms of it.
Freedom cages.
Freedom cages, exactly. But I don't think anybody's buying it anymore.
Well, I mean, I guess probably like, you know, 12-year-olds in school who've never been exposed to anything else maybe buy it for a while until they hear something like the Freedom Fiends or, you know, Free Talk Live. But or have Ian Freeman come speak at their high school. That was pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you say, what's the end game? I mean, what's the end game of a virus or an amoeba? It's to replicate, you know? And it's like, you would say, well, the end game of a virus is to kill the host. But that's not why the virus exists. And that's actually counterproductive to the virus. Mm-hmm. It has to go find another host.
It doesn't think that far ahead. And I think that's a perfect analogy for the state. Because people like Peter King, they don't think that far ahead. They're only thinking about increasing their own self, their own standing.
Yeah, they're lawmakers. They just pass laws. They don't think about the consequences. They don't think about the fact that laws don't increase security and actually do the opposite. They don't think about the fact that, you know, calling something the Patriot Act is completely the opposite of that, and it should really be called, you know, the Jail All the Patriot Act, the Jail All the Patriots Act, which is really what it's turning into.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, maybe we're starting to see it eat away at itself. We're starting to see it crack under its own inconsistencies. And You know, I don't know if that's going to be a good thing in the short term, but it could bode well in the long term. At least I hope so. I'm not a bayonet polisher, and I know you're not. I don't want to see any kind of violent revolution.
No, my bayonet's filthy.
Right.
Cruddy.
I think the conversation, the rhetoric, at least, is tilting towards the favor of the non-interventionist. And I think that's domestically and internationally. I loved when Scott Horton brought up on the show you did with him, and he's brought this up before, the Pew Research Organization did a poll with people. And realized that people are by far majorities against military intervention by the United States state apparatus, the military. But they're overwhelmingly for international trade and peaceful exchange between individuals and companies and overseas things like that. So it's a perfect example of people just don't want the state to interfere in.
Goons know that what they're doing is wrong. I mean, look at the fact that when they do no-knock raids, they're all wearing
they don't talk about it.
They're wearing balaclavas like the IRA. They don't want to be recognized. They are dressing like Al-Qaeda when they're doing home invasions, literally. When they're kicking in doors, they don't want anyone to know who they are. They want their faces covered. They don't want to be recognizable. They're not ashamed of what they do, but they don't want to be recognized for it because people will hate them. They know it. They know they're wrong. You know, it's kind of too, like, you have things like the NSA recently did. The head of the NSA did a YouTube video talking about how great the NSA is and how we should welcome it into our hearts like Jesus. And it was the most downvoted thing, like the most hated thing on YouTube ever. It got the most thumbs down in 24 hours of anything ever, to the point where they closed comments and closed the thumbs down thing. Like, you couldn't comment on it anymore. Like, we're going to put this out there and we don't want to hear what you have to say because it hurts our feelings. And you have things like this sci-fi writer, Charles Statist Strauss, who wrote this article called Why I Want Bitcoin to Die in a Fire. And it's really bizarre. I think there's two kinds of sci-fi writers. There's like the Star Trek kids who grew up believing in the Federation. Like, that's this guy. And then there's the Heinlein kids who just want to be left alone, you know? Mm-hmm. This guy wrote this article. He was complaining about Bitcoin. And some of the things he said against it sounded to me like selling points. He said, Bitcoin looks like it was designed as a weapon to damage central banking. And I'm like, that's your complaint? That sounds like it would be on the ad on TV if there were ads on TV in libertarian paradise for Bitcoin.
He also says, for starters, Bitcoin is inherently deflationary, as if that's a bad thing, as if having constantly rising prices due to constantly increasing money supply is a good thing. Has that been good for the average person? I doubt. It may be good for some rent seekers.
Might be good for central bankers.
It's very good for central bankers and their cronies.
I'm amazed that people who are really smart and into envisioning the future – and also people who are into making it happen, like Richard Stallman, who helped invent Linux, are so statist and can't see the grand scheme of liberty, but want to like be the mouthpiece for the state. Like, Richard Stallman recently gave an interview on Russia Today, where he goes a lot, and said, yeah, there's some good things about Bitcoins, but my problem with it is it could enable people to not pay taxes. Like, who defends taxes? I guess Square people. I don't know.
Well, the guy who wrote this article, too, said he's got that as one of his grievances with Bitcoin. He says it's pretty much designed for tax evasion.
We were having a discussion
off the air about is that a new thing that people defend taxes?
It is, because I was telling you, I'm 49 and you're 29. And when I was a kid – and if any adult said to another adult, ugh, taxes are horrible, it's tax time, I'm doing my taxes, I hate paying taxes, the other adult would almost invariably say, yeah, me too. I mean, they said it was inevitable, like death, but they still paid them, but they complained about it openly, and that was common. And now if you complain about it, somebody says, but without that, we wouldn't have roads, and we'd all be living in a ditch pushing berries up our nose.
We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vadadi, and we've got Michael W. Dean there, too. This is, unfortunately, the last segment here for today's show, but that does mean we have a Freedom Fiends Tweak in Review.
Freedom Fiends!
Tweak in Review!
Right. So, what do Texans love more, cops or the right to defend your home with your rifle?
Apparently both. Everything's louder. They want everything louder than everything else.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting question. And that's sort of the conflict, the tension in this case of a sheriff's deputy killed in a no-knock raid when the person being raided shot at the people busting down his door. He says his wife or girlfriend, I'm not 100% sure, was there too, and she's pregnant with his child. You know, it's hard to say that I wouldn't do the same thing if I heard my door being busted down.
You know, I wonder if they did enough research about their target to know that there was a pregnant woman there, or if they care.
Yeah, that's another good question, too. Lots of good questions to be asked. And unfortunately, in the first few days of the coverage, either they weren't asked or they weren't asked hard enough, because the PIOs and the sheriff were putting out very little information, just saying that they were serving a warrant. They didn't say why there were eight people there to serve a warrant in the middle of the early morning hours before 6 a.m. They didn't get a chance to talk about that, it seems, until a defense attorney came and started to try to dig into this and find out what happened. And after that, it seems like what did happen is the guy who shot the sheriff's deputy is claiming it was, as far as he knows, self-defense. He heard a knock at the door, not even a knock. He just heard people breaking into his trailer home and fought back, like most good Texans would say you should do. And so what happens next? And it brings up a really interesting question of is it ever okay? Will it ever be called self-defense when you shoot and kill a servant of the state, a police officer, a sheriff's deputy, or anything like that? And it's something that we should definitely follow here on the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, and we're not saying it's good that a cop died, but we are pointing out that this is going to happen over and over and over as long as they have the immoral, illegal, unconstitutional war on drugs. And people who don't do drugs, like me and Nima, we don't do drugs, but we like guns. People who don't do drugs and do like guns should be very concerned about the war on drugs, because those are the people practicing to kick in your door and take away your guns. And, you know, the reason they go in at 5 in the morning is that's when most people are in their deepest REM sleep, and it takes them the longest to wake up. They plan that. They plan you to not be able to defend yourself.
Yeah, yeah. How horrible. And I guess on a similar tip, we talked in the second hour about the NSA and the fact that the state is also trying to give them even more immunity than they already have by de facto, and trying to make that immunity and that praise and that ability of these state actors, these state enforcers of the NSA, to have a de jure immunity. A federal judge has labeled the actions of them, their bulk spying on Americans' telephony data, as perfectly legal and perfectly justified. And like we mentioned, it's actually a really good thing for libertarians in a way, because it helps to make the case that the way the state works, the way the state courts work, is to rubber stamp and justify the power grabbing actions of state actors.
Yeah.
So I think that this definitely helps us to make our case. And you know, it's really also good to see mainstream papers like the New York Times coming out and saying that this is a bad week for freedom, basically saying that you know, this is the week that mass surveillance won. I don't think mass surveillance won. I think the war is far from over, and I don't even think it's a tactical battle for them, because like I said, it helps the state to show its ugly face a little bit more to the average citizen. And it's also good to see other mainstream sources like the Washington Post having great interviews with Edward Snowden, where he gets to say things like, "My mission is accomplished." You know, a very opposite mission accomplished from George Bush 2's mission accomplished.
Yeah.
And so if you like The Fiends, go ahead and join Michael and Bill Bupert tomorrow. They'll have lots more Feeny goodness. I'm going to be with my family and my new daughter, Lily June Vidati. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been The Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about The Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeenS.com.